The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management. Good afternoon and welcome to Family First with five-time author and top speaker Randy Rolfe. Your family may be facing a variety of issues that you'd like addressed. No two families in the world face identical problems, but Randy has seen almost all of the difficulties families today face, and she and her expert guests have the answers that you seek. Now, here is your host, Randy Rolfe.
Hello and welcome to Family First. I'm your host, Randy Rolfe, and today is International Day of Peace, September 21st. So we're going to be talking about what Peace Day means for family. Our children are exposed daily to news of violence, war, fleeing refugees, children orphaned by conflict. How do we help empower them to believe they can be part of making the world a safer, fairer, more peaceful place? This is one of the goals of the International Day today, September 21st, and we're celebrating the United Nations International Day of Peace, a day of ceasefire and nonviolence celebrated worldwide. My guest today on Family First is Lisa Parker, who helped to found Peace Day Philly in 2011, believing that Peace Day holds a great opportunity for cities across the world, including Philadelphia. She serves as coordinator of the initiative this year for 2012 and is co-chair of the Cities Peace Team, which is an international subcommittee of the International Day of Peace NGO Committee at the United Nations. And the Cities Peace Team shares models, practices, and resources related to Peace Day observances and helps increase connectivity of cities across the world that promote and organize observances for Peace Day. I'll tell you a little more about Lisa before I introduce her. Lisa Parker is a native and a social by choice. Received her degree in 86 and a master's degree in social service program planning and development in 1993. She has worked in various social services, educational, mental health, and public health programs in Philadelphia, and especially with children, youth, and families, and with refugee populations. Lisa also has experience in areas of nonprofit consulting and anti-bullying activities in schools, as well as with visual and expressive arts. In addition to her work with Peace Day Initiative, Lisa is also a representative for Global Education Motivators to the United Nations Department of Public Information. Global Education Motivators, called GEM, is a Philadelphia-based nonprofit that uses video conferencing to encourage a greater global perspective, especially among high school and college youth, through a wide range of intercultural dialogues and exposure to the work of the United Nations. So welcome to Family First, Lisa. I really appreciate you taking out time for the show during this busy and special day.
International Day of Peace to you.
Thank you so much. I love this topic because I got involved in actually family, focusing on the family from travel I did all over the world with my own family during the summers. I thought that was the best education. And I realized people were looking for the same things all over the world, so why couldn't there be peace? And this was at the time of the Cold War and the Cuban Missile Crisis. And I'm like, what is the problem here? Why can't we get this across? So I really am excited about today's topic. So tell me how you first became interested in the Peace Day Initiative, Lisa.
Mm-hmm. I saw a film on Peace Day 2009. It was on PBS in the evening. I'd never heard of the International Day of Peace. I had no affiliation with the United Nations. Really probably thought of it, like most people, this very you know, far away things, place that did far away things. But I saw this film that was done by Jeremy Gilley. He's the founder of an organization called Peace One Day. And this film was called The Day After Peace, and it was about his work to make a case for support for a fixed calendar date for the International Day of Peace, which has actually been supported through UN resolution passed in 1981, but there wasn't a fixed calendar date chosen. It always went with the schedule of the UN, the opening of the General Assembly. So it didn't ever get much traction. So he went around the world and interviewed people like the Dalai Lama and Kofi Annan and made this case for support that this day could really save lives, that humanitarian work could take place, and that it could really raise the consciousness and build peace across the world. So that film was so inspiring to me that I decided to reach out to some local schools around using soccer on the International Day of Peace, and did that in 2010, and also encouraged a couple of local screening houses to show the film. And then last year met with people from the United Nations Association and a group called the Sustainable Future, the Alliance for a Sustainable Future, and you know, I sat down with them and said, I'd really love to bring this day to Philadelphia. It's such a great platform for a major city like Philadelphia. I was born and raised in Philadelphia in the inner city, went to public school, worked as a social worker in the city, and just felt like it was a really great opportunity. So we had some activities and did some things last year, and this year it's really built and developed significantly. So it was basically that film, and not a peace activist. I'm a social worker by training, as I said, and it was you know, just all new to me to move in this direction. But I really got the message from that film that every single person can make a difference in spreading peace in the world, and that's how I got started.
Oh, what a great message, and it's a beautiful story. And it's so neat that one film can make a difference, this initiative in Philadelphia, because you saw that film. That's so awesome. So how many countries or cities are involved around the world, Lisa?
Well, now there are 193 member states of the UN, with South Sudan joining last year as the 193rd. And it's thought that in at least 150 countries around the world, there's some kind of Peace Day observance. Some cities and areas, the government sponsors it. They have week-long celebrations with soccer matches, which the reason why soccer is done a lot is it's used a lot by the UN and NGOs to as a peace-building tool to reintegrate children who've been child soldiers, doing a lot for youth development around the world. So it's a very, and soccer, even though it's not big in the U.S., this is very the biggest sport around the world. So soccer matches, concerts, conferences, and so forth. And then there are, you know, more modest observances in other places. And one of the things, exciting things we're doing this year is really trying to gather more information about what is exactly happening around the world, because there's a lot of countries to keep track of. But we know that at least in 2011, there was some kind of activity in every country of the United Nations 193. It varies from year to year, but it's the word is really spreading, and so I think this year we'll get the report back that all 193 have done an observance at some level.
Oh, that's so exciting, just to have all the countries raising awareness that we really can have peace together. That's very exciting. So what specifically, what kinds of activities are happening in Philadelphia today, this weekend?
Yeah, well, because we're a volunteer initiative, we really haven't created a lot of big events ourselves. So what we've done is do outreach to organizations around the city and around the region and really invited them to utilize this global day as a day of opportunity to share about their work, to you know, provide programming, extend programming that they already do related to peace and nonviolence. And so as a result of that, we have over 25 different activities that are happening, started on Wednesday night and flowing all the way through next week. Public activities, most of which are free. What Peace Day Philly is offering is this morning we had a public program at Love Park, and we were very fortunate to have Poet Laureate Sonia Sanchez read some peace haiku. And we also had State Senator Larry Farnese and Mayor Michael Nutter, who's been very supportive of our efforts, also joined us in support of our efforts and proclaimed today in Philadelphia Peace Day Philly. So it was a very lovely morning, and a lot of different people and groups came out for that. So that was our public program. After that, we've just had a public program on peace and public health, again, open to the public and free, with people who are doing violence reduction work all around the city, coming at it from different perspectives, but all understanding that violence is a public health issue. Later, we'll have a sing-along. There will be a program on personal peace. There will be a walk and vigil against gun violence, and there will also be a concert at the Kimmel Center, which is our big performing arts center, that we're really excited to be part of Peace Day Philly, a new work by a West African trumpeter that's going to be performed.
Wow, that's so exciting. So many different areas of art and communication and singing and violence reduction. That's very exciting. So what activities do you recommend, Lisa, for families to bring awareness to ourselves and our children? There's a great list, and I'm hoping that our listeners, at least in the Philadelphia area, can attend those or find out what's going on in their city or country that they can participate in. Can you recommend what kind of focus maybe parents should be thinking about today?
Yeah, well, first let me say that, we have these events just to really make it accessible and to allow people to network and create community and create connections that can flow far beyond just the International Day of Peace. But Peace Day can really be observed in a very personal way, in a very simple way with families. What we were able to do this year is create a website, which is peacedayphilly.org. And on that website, we have many different resources and links related to peace and nonviolence. And there's a section called What Can You Do? And if you click on that section, there's a section for children and youth. And I encourage anybody who's interested to go. They can download activities that are very easy, not that complicated to do, that they can do with their family or do if they're a teacher, do in their schools, and just find simple ways to integrate it. There are also whole curriculums that are available through the links, but it's something that can grow as you are interested in it. So you can do something very small, from planting a plant today with your child to learning about somewhere else in the world that where our children don't have the same rights that we do in the United States. So it can be any range of things. So we have all those resources available. They're on the website, and anyone, no matter where you are in the country or in the world, can access them.
That's wonderful. What a great resource. So do go to peacedayphilly.org and check out those links and things you can do with your kids. Do you find the schools are responding to the initiative?
Well, it's interesting because the schools, sorry, I had a little frog in my throat, so if I was a little airy just now, that's why. The schools, it's interesting because there's so much focus on reducing violence in the schools, especially in the city. And anti-bullying efforts and peer mediation programs and so forth. So you would think that Peace Day would be an easy sell, but, you know, as any system, the school system is a big system. So what we've done this year is we've found some inroads through health, through the arts, and also through a program called Students in Action, which really rewards students for doing service, not just for academics and sports. And through those two avenues, we've gotten our materials out, and we have, I think, about 25 or 30 schools that we know of that are doing Peace Day activities. But now that they're in those schools, then the next step, and we've actually gotten a few conversations today about bringing it to the school board and the new superintendent. I know in Chicago, which has the oldest standing Peace Day celebration, and they do a beautiful job every year with the flag ceremony and their public program, they actually hand deliver 700 packets of peace activities that the schools then distribute. So they try to make it very easy for the schools to access those materials. But again, I think it starts with individual teachers, and we've been trying to work sort of top down, and then on the other hand, from the ground up. And, you know, the ground up, once a couple of teachers or a couple of librarians do it, they're so excited and the kids love it that they just build on that, and then the word spreads. So we're really finding the grassroots way is the way, you know, is the way to, for it to come. And the teachers that are using it, we've got, teachers Skyping with students in other areas of the country and several in other areas of the world. Doing all kinds of wonderful activities, making peace doves, writing peace pledges that they can have in their desk and really read them every morning to themselves and think about, develop this sense as a child of mindfulness of how am I doing with this pledge? You know, something that adults, I know I could use, you know, I've done that before, to have something that, am I really living my pledge? So those are some of the most popular, you know, activities that I've been hearing about. And peace poetry, too, is very big this year.
Oh, that's so cool. I love the, you know, the making doves and the pledges in their desks that they can look at. And so those are some of the ideas that can impact. I think it's so wonderful to connect you know, violence or bullying in the schools or in the streets to connect that to mm-hmm. how do we really approach, you know, global peace. Mm-hmm. And that's a connection that's very precious to me, because I believe the why reason I have the show is that if we have healthy families, we'll create a healthier world and a healthier environment. So how do you get that across, that the local activities, mm. even what happens in the home or the school, will help promote peace on the global scale?
Mm. Yeah, that's it's something that we continue to develop and work on and talk about. And you know, I'm always challenged because I have a social work frame and I also have a young child who's six. So as a parent and as a social worker and someone who has done some work in the schools, that's my frame, not as a peace activist. So I'm learning and working all the time to understand that. But I think one of the fundamental issues is technology. Technology is connecting people across the world, and it's, with all its downsides, there's such an incredible opportunity for people to connect with people in other parts of the world. And once you hear someone and have a conversation or Skype with them or do a video conference, you realize that some of the issues are just basic to humanity. And having had that experience, you know, in your school, then you bring that perspective and you bring that understanding to your life, to the choices you make, and to the way you look at world events that are happening around you. Moving back to your question about the personal, you know, we have this, our sub logo is personal, local, global. And when we are in committee meetings and talking, we say, okay, we have to build peace in peace. And I think fundamentally, whether it's parenting or educating, it's easy to get into, it can be easy to get into reducing negative behavior, okay, reducing violence, rather than promoting and reinforcing the wonderful things And I know,
we're up on our first break, I need to interrupt you. No, that's all right. So much great information. We're speaking with Lisa Parker, who's co-coordinator of Peace Day Philly and is involved in the International Peace Day that's celebrated in all major countries of the world, 193 members of the UN that have special recognition of this day. So please stay tuned. We're going to hear more from Lisa about how to make it a more peaceful world.
Be sure to friend us on Facebook. You can do it right now. Visit facebook.com/Voice America or search for us at keyword Voice America.
What if thinking just a little bit differently about your daughter could make her more respectful, a better student, or less vulnerable to peer pressure? What if a few simple changes in your words with your son could make him more responsible, a better listener, or more fun? Five-time author and dynamic speaker Randy Rolfe has answers to your questions about family matters, whether it's your kids, parents, schools, health and diet issues, finances, or life balance. Randy can help you. The World Ambassador for Family, Randy Rolfe has been helping families since 1985 to minimize the stress and heartache of modern living. To access some great and free downloadable tools, to get one of her internationally acclaimed books, or to have her inspire and excite your next event as your featured speaker, go to www.randyrolfe.com. That's RANDYROLFE.com. Your family will thank you.
Hi, I'm Neil Haley, host of the Total Education Network. We're the only education talk show that airs shows 7 days a week on different stations. Please go to my website at TotalTutor.org to learn about the exciting shows coming to the network. The show brings the total education experience. We interview interesting guests, have lively debates, and provide news and provide tips for parents. Please go to my website at TotalTutor.org for more information. Remember, the talk shop for teachers, parents, and administrators, TotalTutor.org.
Opinions, options, answers. Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're tuned in to Family First with your host, Randy Rolfe. To speak to Randy or her guests, please call 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. You may also send an email to randyrolfe@randyrolfe.com. Now, back to Family First.
Welcome back to Family First. We're speaking with Lisa Parker about what Peace Day means for the family. Today is September 21st, the International Day of Peace. And I want to mention a couple things. We have almost 50,000 listeners every month, which is awesome. And I hope you're all thinking of ways to celebrate peace today. And we're looking for sponsors. And also we're looking to have people join Friends of Family First. And it's very easy to do that. You can go to www.indiegogo.com. That's IndieGogo.com, and look for the campaign Friends of Family First. And we have all kinds of great gifts for any level of contribution. So I'd love you to help us continue Family First. It costs many thousands every week to produce. And so I'd love to have our listeners become closer part of Family First. And so today, as I said, we're talking with Lisa Parker, who's co-coordinator of Peace Day Philly and is in contact with people all over the world who are celebrating this day to bring awareness and raise consciousness about the power of each of us to contribute to peace in the home, in the school, on the streets, and throughout the world. So she's been sharing some of the amazing events that are happening in cities around the world, Chicago, Philadelphia, and many places in this country as well, concerts, conferences, educational things. Most of them are free. Mayor Nutter of Philadelphia has endorsed the day for City of Philadelphia, and there's a wonderful website, peacedayphilly.org with links to all kinds of activities, that simple things you can do with your children, things you can suggest to teachers for next week. Please check that out. So, Lisa, getting back to what we were talking about, you were saying how one of the things you focus on is positive ways to interact at the personal level as mm-hmm. well as at, in communities and mm-hmm. Between countries. Mm-hmm. Did you want to add more to that?
Yeah, a few things. One is that, in inner cities, in major cities like Philadelphia, Chicago, you know, there's issues of violence that face us every day that we hear about on the news. And I think the media, and one of the great, wonderful things about your show, Randy, is that you're shining a light on education and resources and awareness that people can find, and lifting up some of the positive work that's happening. And I really hope that one of the things we can do is move the media along, at least locally, to that. But I think in that frame, we tend to focus on what's wrong and not what's right. And I think when we build from that, and I was saying, you know, people are listening are much, much more experienced parents than I am as someone who has a 6-year-old. But when we build on the positive, that power of that to eclipse some of the negative, whether it's in an interaction or, you know, in a group or in an organization or in a city, can be really profound. So the emphasis on the positive. And you had asked about the personal, today at noon, we stood and had a minute of silence, and that was a global activity that's still going on throughout the world, moving all across the world, waving in all time zones. And many people think that holding that silence and holding that space inside is, similar to meditation and so forth, but that connection of all of us through the world, that in itself creates an energetic shift that really can move things in a different direction in ways that words cannot say. So that's actually something that the UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon actively endorsed this year as something he would really like people to do. So if you're on the West, you know, farther afield, think about that and the invitation to take that minute of silence any day, because again, if we are coming from a place of inner chaos and not calm and aren't connected with our own calm and our own peace, then it's difficult for us to offer others more. And I was saying, with technology now, we can connect very directly with people all around the world, so we're continuing to be representatives and ambassadors of people around the world. And if we bring that excitement and interest and curiosity, it can create I have such great connections with people in different countries of the world who knew nothing. You know, they don't know me and I don't know them, and yet we found a way to discuss and share ideas. And, so individuals now can be ambassadors of peace, connecting with people in different countries throughout the world.
And that can't help but improve awareness, and even just a moment of silence, just becoming conscious and aware and calming oneself, can make a big difference in all your relationships and also help appreciate others around the world. So that really powerful ideas. Now, you mentioned you have a son, and that gives you a very personal connection to efforts to create agreeable relationships between people of different ethnic, religious, racial, or cultural backgrounds. Can you tell us a little more about how that impacts your work with the Peace Day?
You mean my experience as a parent?
You said that you're basically have multiculturalism in your home.
My son is from Vietnam. He's born in Vietnam, so we're a multiracial family, multicultural family. And I think having that connection, I think we had that, my husband and I anyway, but, we're all, children of the world are all children, and here are children here and all elsewhere around the world that don't have parents or don't have someone to care for them, and they're all our responsibility. But it's helpful to me at times to be, or it causes me, I would say, to be more mindful because, you know, he does look different than I look. He does look different from many of the kids in his class or in his, you know, kindergarten. And I have to be aware of that as a mom. And I know people out there listening who might have, you know, there are many, many ways that we're all different from one another, but we want to protect our children and we don't want to ever, we want them to be proud and excited and celebratory about who they are and what they have to give to the world. And so it causes me to have that mindfulness and to really see how in many situations people don't feel maybe they have enough voice because of some, you know, maybe a language barrier or looking different or some kind of other difference. And, you know, so I think it's really great when we can, you know, cross that line. So as a parent, I feel protective and want to celebrate his culture and but also at the same time knowing that at times, you know, we're not in the most tolerant world and that's going to come up for him and I have to be there for him to work it through, just like with many other issues of parenting. It's one of, you know, one of many.
Hello?
Yes.
Oh, good. Okay. Yes.
Just taking a breath for myself and looking, thinking of my son and thinking of, yeah, that's, you know, that's what I would have. And also I feel like being a parent now, I want him to, like, he knows who Jane Goodall is. He knows that she's a UN messenger for peace and she works for the earth. He knows where South Sudan is. You know, he, and those are things that I would like to teach him, not in a way that's, and, you know, everyone has their own path in terms of what they want to teach. But for me, having him be aware of, you know, what happens in his birth country, but what happens in places all over the world and to see the similarities. Look, this is the children and this is what they do and this is what their school experience is like or what their community experience is like, to teach him how to be a global citizen from very young. And again, with technology, with YouTube and Facebook, and we can share images and stories that make other places in the world so much more real, and even children can have a voice. And we can share those voices, you know, locally and give children the perspective of what's going on for children in other parts of the world, in other parts of our country, in other parts of our city.
That's so powerful. And, you know, when I was growing up, the only way to really get involved was to travel. But now kids can watch videos and really relate to the stories of children all over the world. And they don't have to do all that travel. So it's possible to give them that kind of personal involvement for anybody who has a computer screen can mm-hmm. do that now. And it made all the difference in my education. And now any parent can choose to give their children what you called that awareness as a global citizen, and not overwhelming them with the problems, but focusing on the connection and the similarities
some of the gifts that other communities, like you know, the community that working with some West African immigrants that live in Philadelphia, and we've been talking a lot about the difference in culture. And, you know, in some West African communities, it's like your family is your whole village, you know, it's the whole village, it's the whole neighborhood, and that the way in which we're pretty isolated as an American society, you know, doesn't always serve. So there are things that we can learn about how maybe we can live in a more connected way from other cultures. It might play out in a different way in a city than in a village. But I think, you know, just as people in other parts of the world can be inspired by things that people in the U.S. have to offer, you know, there's a lot that we can be inspired about too.
Yes, that's amazing. we can learn so much from other cultures, and some of the things that we've lost in our nuclear families and our suburban communities where people don't know their neighbors, just being able to reconnect. And you see that with the social media, and there's a move to have more local gathering places where people don't have to drive an hour to just hang out with friends, to create more local communities, and that should promote a more peaceful, connected kind of living. And if our children see that, it can make a huge difference. You know, I've written a number of parenting books to try to start right at the simplest level, right there in the home with the children, having them see that there's a whole lot of problem solving steps before you ever get to force or violence. So that's so powerful. So you are also involved with the UN in connection with the Global Education Motivators organization. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, that organization was founded by a school teacher who retired, and he got really interested in video conferencing as a way to connect students across the world and to teach about the work of the UN related to the Millennium Development Goals, which up until a couple of years ago, I didn't even know what they were until I think saw a video about them or read an article about them, and the peace building work that the UN does. So, we set up various video conferences with different classrooms in different areas around the field with kids in other parts of the region, other parts of the world. Like in the spring, we had a great video conference with youth from a local college and youth from Egypt, and they talked a lot about the Arab Spring and this idea of volunteerism and citizenship. And what was really exciting is the Egyptians were talking about how after the revolution there was so much cleanup and things to do and work to do with kids, and they just jumped right in and did it, and it was like a light bulb going off in the heads of the kids that were listening about, oh, we don't have to wait for like there to be a program or for the government to come in and do it. And so their ideas and their understanding of having rights and exercising your rights and respecting all, all rights was really marked. And I think in our country, we do have a lot of rights. There are a lot of issues and problems, and there's definitely issues of, structural violence and injustice that happens in our country. But, when we compare it to some other areas, it's really quite striking. And so people in Egypt were saying how important these rights were, and they were so excited to be able to exercise their rights as citizens and as volunteers. So that's just one example of a program. And we actually do programs at the United Nations. We had a program in the spring around teaching peace and human rights. We actually had four different locations that the Philippines, Mexico, several other, Pakistan, and one other country, all educators talking about teaching peace to students. So it was a great way to learn, about resources and really connect, as world teachers. So that's basically the work that we do with that.
Yeah, I think it's so important to emphasize the connection between peace and human rights. I've always maintained that people don't really fight until they feel somehow really deprived of their basic right to shelter and food and safety for their kids. And yeah. It's wonderful to be able to expose college kids to cultures that are just starting to get the kind of freedoms that we have come to take for granted here. And it's important to be reminded, because they can slip away if we are not appreciating them. And so that's a wonderful educational approach to be able to remind students of what they have here. And when they see how others don't have those same rights, and that they need to be guarded and protected and appreciated for us to keep them. So that's a great educational message. And we're up on our next break. Lisa, it goes really quickly, but you're sharing such great information. So please, listeners, stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Learn more. Live better. Voice America Health and Wellness.
What if thinking just a little bit differently about your daughter could make her more respectful, a better student, or less vulnerable to peer pressure? What if a few simple changes in your words with your son could make him more responsible, a better listener, or more fun? Five-time author and dynamic speaker Randy Rolfe has answers to your questions about family matters, whether it's your kids, parents, schools, health and diet issues, finances, or life balance. Randy can help you. The World Ambassador for Family, Randy Rolfe, has been helping families since 1985 to minimize the stress and heartache of modern living. To access some great and free downloadable tools, to get one of her internationally acclaimed books, or to have her inspire and excite your next event as your featured speaker, go to www.randyrolfe.com. That's RANDYROLFE.com. Your family will thank you.
Hi, I'm Neil Haley, host of the Total Education Network. We're the only education talk show that airs shows 7 days a week on different stations. Please go to my website at TotalTutor.org to learn about the exciting shows coming to the network. The show brings the total education experience. We interview interesting guests, have lively debates, and provide news, and provide tips for parents. Please go to my website at TotalTutor.org for more information. Remember, the talk shop for teachers, parents, and administrators, TotalTutor.org.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're tuned in to Family First with your host, Randy Rolfe. To speak to Randy or her guests, please call 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. You may also send an email to randyrolfe@randyrolfe.com. Now, back to Family First.
Welcome back. We're talking about what Peace Day means for family. Today is International Day of Peace, and we're speaking with Lisa Parker, who is a co-coordinator of the initiative for the City of Philadelphia this year. And it's growing all around the world and growing in Philadelphia as well. We've been discussing how to help families increase awareness of the ability of each of us to contribute to world peace and to become more aware of what's going on in other parts of the world and how people are taking the initiative to make it a better world. And at the break, Lisa, we were talking about some of the personal things people can do just to reduce conflict and stress so that the violence is less likely. And it's something that people can share with their children, with each other in schools or college students. What are some of those ways of just reducing the likelihood of conflict from the personal point of view?
Yeah, well, there's so much work out there in terms of breathing and mindfulness and work that's been done with children around centering and working with the breath and this kind of witnessing your own thinking so that you're not reacting, but that you're noticing how you're feeling and you're processing it through. I think when we experience negative things, sometimes it's very easy even as adults to just react. And most of us don't have the skills. We haven't practiced them. We haven't been taught them to manage our stress well, to manage a situation so that it doesn't become conflictual. So I've just learned through some of my Peace Day outreach that there's a couple of programs in the city now working with kids and encouraging and actually doing training with parents so they can do this with kids at home to do deep breathing. There's several relatively simple, but, you know, you need to know the technique of it to settle in, you know, more simply just sitting and breathing and being aware of breathing in, breathing out. But just taking that pause is sometimes what's what can be necessary. But part of that training, too, and again, with parents so that they can do it with their children and for themselves as well, is to work on this issue of noticing tension and that feeling, you know, that rises up in us, that fight or flight, that angst when we feel like we're in a conflictual situation, how to process that and how to manage that and problem solve around that and develop ways to work through that in a positive way. It's a skill set, and I think I know as myself going through, you know, I'm 48 now, but going through, I didn't learn those things, and I really want now as a parent to, you know, try to instill that. And my son has come up to me sometimes when I'm getting, you know, anxious about something, and he says, "Mom, just breathe. Mom, just breathe." So our kids can remind us when we're not in our own peace. But I think that's something that teachers and parents can really think about, and we have some of those resources on the Children and Youth page of our website. But you know, to think about how can that be integrated as a value? How can skills, not just conflict resolution, but some of these other breathing skills and thinking skills? There's a whole line of thought around trauma, and people have experienced trauma, whether it's something very extreme or something that's a loss, that it actually has this physiological experience in your body, and unless you're processing through it, you know, that residue stays. So it's a complicated conversation, but it's there are people, there are practitioners and resources and books out there about that, and even just a simple breathing and processing through is invaluable at times in terms of taking a step away and taking a breath. So I really encourage people to look at whether their school is integrating anything like that, and you know, if the mood strikes, to try to do that at home.
It makes so much sense. It reminds me of, you know, Abraham Lincoln said to pause and count to 10 when you feel your blood pressure rising, and but that's something people don't think about now because they're so busy reacting, you know, then they mm-hmm. see an email or a Facebook post and all of a sudden they think they have to react rather than sitting back and saying, oh, well, mm-hmm. you know, what difference does that really make? And we've had
the witnessing part of actually sitting back and noticing that response but not reacting in it. That's a really powerful skill that kids can learn. And I'm still learning as an adult when I feel that feeling rise up, to don't take action, just stop and look at it like I'm witnessing, I'm observing myself, what's going on with my heartbeat, what's going on, am I sweating more, am I clenching my teeth, and just taking that inventory can give us that perspective of stepping away and staying in inaction for a moment rather than reacting. But it, you know, it's a constant, we're human beings, and it's a lifelong process, as I'm sure our listeners are, you know, we're all in this together, so we work on it, and it's not about perfection, but I think there are some basic skills that you know, aren't part and parcel of what our society teaches, and I think that's something that we as parents and educators kind of need to bring voice to, that these are important skills, and it's not, you know, overly spiritual or, you know, there's all kinds of labels, but we're talking about physiological processes of how people get engaged and, you know, get into arguments and create stress and trauma in their own lives and create, you know, problems with relationships. So it's a very practical skill. It can take a spiritual form if you choose that, but it doesn't have to take that. It can be a very simple and basic. And there's a lot around mindfulness, meditation. Thich Nhat Hanh has many, many tapes and books out about breathing in, breathing out. Some of his mindfulness breathing, so simple, even kids can do it, and it is so effective.
Yes, that makes so much sense. We've had guests on Family First that talk about anger management and when kids know how to just massage their necks and shoulders just to get that tension out, and the mindfulness, it's such an important point that you can step back and have a different cognitive perspective. I mean, literally stepping back and getting a different perspective from a situation. And I love that you're focusing on prevention, just because conflict resolution is really important, but a lot of conflicts just won't even happen if the people involved are able to step back and say, wait a minute, how important is this? What is your perspective? Let's resolve it without a conflict.
And much of it is habit too, right? Just like how we have habits of drinking coffee or not drinking enough water or, you know, whatever our habits are when we're working, slouching, whatever. Mindfulness is a habit too. And what's really great is, and my son can do this too, like, once you do it once, then it's easier to do it again and again. And then pretty, you know, quickly you can see the benefits of that. And then that just reinforces it. But we have to unwind a lot. I mean, at least some of us like me who have a lot to unwind from, you know, a lot of stuff that didn't get unpacked to make new habits. And our children are so wonderful because they can create so many new habits so quickly where it's harder for us. We've had a lot of years entrenching. But even with the breath, something as simple as that, within a couple of days, you could actually feel a difference. And then you can create a new habit out of that. And it's so great when you see yourself breathing and not engaging and saying, you know, I'm going to call you back on that and hang up the phone and notice that and say, wow, you know, we just avoided like a really big kind of blowout, just giving myself some more space, and it allows you to do it more the next time. And when my son watches me do that, I feel like I'm teaching him how to be in the world. And when I don't do that so well, I'm teaching him that too. But I'm also talking to him about what the consequences are when I, you know, don't handle a situation, how that makes my life so complicated, because I feel like that's part of my job as a parent to help him understand consequences of different behaviors. So that's, you know, on the side where I'm not modeling well, I need to talk to him too.
Yes, I'm a big advocate of, you know, going back to a child and saying, you know, I didn't handle that so well. Mm-hmm. And being able to admit a mistake and to change habits is a critical learning process for our kids. And I try to say, you know, we don't need to be perfect because nobody's perfect. And kids need to learn how not to be perfect and how to apologize when they lose the control that they're working on. So, modeling, kids learn from imitation. It's all about how are we handling our stresses, and they'll tend to do it, and we can do whatever we do, and they can teach us so much. Mm-hmm. I always say parenting is our second chance by watching our kids learning anew. So it's really exciting. We just have a few more minutes to the show, but I wanted to ask you, perhaps we've already answered it, but what do you think are the biggest blocks to people really believing that peace is possible in schools or on the streets or between countries?
Right. Well, when we talk about it with Peace Day Philly, when we say personal, local, global, we also talk about peace with a small p. And I think when people talk about world peace or, you know, there being peace, global peace, there's a way in which I think we can shut down, because it seems such a tremendous task. There's so much conflict in the world. But on the other hand, there's also peace breaking out in different places over the world. And we have models of that where people are stepping up in communities all over the world and bringing solutions and bringing communities together. And I think, again, it's the more focus on that and looking at what is working and what is inspiring. So I think when we use peace with a capital P, it seems very big, just like the UN seemed like some, you know, faraway place. But if what we talk about is peace with a small p, which starts with each of us, which starts with our breath, which starts with our interactions with others, and being responsible in that as well as we can, as imperfectly as we do it sometimes. And to see that when we build those relationships and then we build those collaborations, and that allows us then to reach out even farther and farther and make, you know, bigger connections, it also allows us the humility to look at other societies and other cultures and see what they are doing that we might be able to be inspired from. So, I mean, there's many spiritual ideas about peace and the individual can create an energetic shift. But I think, you know, if you want to move it on the more practical way, if you're able to work on that peace with a small p and keep a mind towards the world issues, again, through technology and through our connections, we can actually affect some change. We can support people in the peace work that's happening around the world. And if we're in a good place and if we're practicing it in our lives, we're much more likely to reach out then and connect with others and read about other things that people are doing and actually, you know, have a little bit of an impact. I would have had no idea I would be a UN rep, you know, an NGO representative a year and a half ago and have an opportunity to ask questions and briefings and be involved in discussions. And, you know, it is, you know, more accessible than I think we think it is, but it does begin with our personal relationships and moving from there, and also our interest in finding an area of the world you're interested in or program that you're interested in and working from there. So basically we talk about the little p, and when we talk about the little p, it doesn't feel so unattainable, and that's what we can work on. And if everybody's working on the small p, the little p, then it moves toward the big P.
That's very exciting. One of my favorite books is called The Unconquerable World. And he goes through world history talking about how peace breaks out. And that in school we learn about the dates of wars and such. But he goes through the history pointing out that the big changes really happen because of peaceful things that are happening, human rights and respect and revolutions can be nonviolent and things like that. It's exactly what you're saying, that it starts with the people and the way they are interacting with each other. So we're coming up on the end of the show, so I want to make sure that people know about the website. Can you repeat that information again, Lisa?
Sure. It's www.peacedayphilly, which is spelled P-H-I-L-L-Y, which is our short for Philadelphia, peacedayphilly.org.
And you have links there for children and youth and what you can do to increase the peace in your neighborhood, in your school, and in the world. Mm-hmm. And do you have one last thing you'd like to listeners to take away about International Peace Day to make it more meaningful for themselves and their families?
Yeah, I just think use it as an opportunity to think about the things and the interactions that cause you to feel more peaceful and work from there. It doesn't have to be a should or a thing you have to do. It can be something that's very natural. And then if you do it today, as an acknowledgement and a connection with everybody else on the planet doing it today, this is a global day, then maybe tomorrow we do it, and then we are working that, you know, small p toward the big P. So I'd say start where you are and find something joyful. Like I said, even if it's, you know, planting a bulb for the springtime with your child or doing something that's creates peace for you and between yourself and members of your family. That's a wonderful way to celebrate the day and look at the resources, you know, whenever and build from there.
Okay. Thanks so much for being our guest on Family First, Lisa Parker, with the celebration of Peace Day in Philadelphia and around the world. So please go to peacedayphilly.org and check out those links. And thanks again, Lisa, and all for continuing day after day.
Thanks for the opportunity of your show and the platform you're giving people to share the positive things that are happening and that people are doing around the world.
Okay, great. Appreciate it. Take care now.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Family First. Please tune in to our program every Friday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 1 p.m. Pacific Time, to join your host, Randy Rolfe, on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. The weekend is here. Enjoy it with your family. And we hope to see you here next week.